Good morning. You've tuned in to your community radio station. This is 88.5 KRFY, and you are listening to The Morning Show with Jim and Jack on a Thursday morning, the second to last Thursday in October. Not the last. We are 1 week away from Halloween night, and then we are going to be discussing the upcoming events at the library and what else is going on out there on the east side. But good morning, Jim. How are you? How's that microphone doing?
Yeah.
Sad.
It's going limp on me.
Uh-huh.
I'm sad. I will be continuing to play around with it during the entire hour. We have Mike Bauer and Foster Klein with us to talk about this Saturday's Local Authors Festival. But before we do, how are you doing, Jack?
Pretty good. I went to the library last night just as part of my research for this show.
Did you?
Yes.
Like
no,
where, like
no,
where
not
located?
Really.
Like
I
where
did.
It's located?
I did, in fact, go. I went to return a overdue library book. I think I am one of the library's worst patrons, actually. I'm always returning overdue books, but most of the time they do eventually get returned, so that's worth celebrating. And
where is it located?
Oh, yeah. It's on Division in Cedar.
There you go.
What is, and it's officially on Cedar Street. Yes.
But more of it, I think. I think it's on Cedar because that's where the main entrance is. But if you just go to Division and Cedar, you can't miss it.
Yeah. And driving down Division, yeah, it does occupy some space. I peeked into through the window, I looked into the teen center. It's pretty cool.
Ooh.
You know, they have a pool table in there.
Hello.
And it flips over to foosball.
That I did not know.
No, flips over to air hockey.
I didn't see that.
Can get violent, yeah.
I want to be a teen again.
Uh-huh.
Pick me.
Yeah. Anyway, lots going on in the town and in the area, and I have the weather before me if you want me to read it. Ready, Jim?
You go for it, okay. Jack.
All right, here we go. It is partly sunny today. And a high of 53 degrees, currently about 36 degrees, according to the National Weather Service. And it is, yeah, I'd agree with this. It says it's overcast right now, but it should be clearing up later today. South wind of 3 to 7 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight with a low around 33. A slight chance of rain tomorrow morning, and then, off and on, but mostly rain is likely after noon and after 5 p.m., increasing to a better than 60% chance of rain. Let's see here. And then on Saturday, rain is likely, or chance of rain and snow in the morning. Ew, snow. And then snow, and then a chance of showers as the day progresses, clearing up on Saturday night with a low down to about 25 degrees. The high on Saturday, only 46. High on Sunday, 45, but sunny. And then mostly sunny on Monday as well. So we're going to lose about 10 degrees of temperature here, but
hey,
whatever.
Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but in my yard, I've got leaves to rake. What was it on? I think on Tuesday, I stood at a window looking into our backyard, and I took a video of it. It was like raining leaves. It was just magical. The sun was coming through, and we have a beautiful sycamore tree in the backyard, and I've got a lot of work ahead of me.
We have a sycamore, I believe, and it produces quite a few leaves.
One or two, to say the least.
And there's so many left on the tree. It's a little overwhelming.
You know, I don't mind raking, but I wish I could just rake it once and be done with it. It never works out that way.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, my sister in Washington, D.C., is sending us the weather forecast. We do this every Thursday morning because she says when she gets up, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY, and she gets to hear our beautiful voices. And so that's one of the tributes to technology these days. She says, she starts off with a Martha and the Vandellas title, Dancing in the Streets Today. 2-0 Nats lead World Series. They just didn't. The first game, they trickled by, but yesterday, they blew it wide open. But she says the temperature, 50 now, high of 70, clear skies and sunny. So something is going well in that city.
Indeed.
To say the least.
Can you, am I the only one in this room who can feel the whole building vibrate right now? I think the construction has begun out on First Avenue already.
Well, what they've done is they're putting the street, reassembling the street so that we can start driving on it soon. And then they come back next spring and deconstruct the street.
Right. So we are going to be driving on it all winter, as far as you understand?
Oh, absolutely. Hello.
Okay.
I mean, but yes, it's been rumbling.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like seismic, but it's enough to know. It's not as bad as when they did the alley behind us.
Right.
When, you know, that narrow alley, they really... But...
It's certainly noticeable, though. So hopefully it's not being picked up and bothering anyone out there coming through our microphones in some way. But if it is, rest assured, it's only temporary.
Coming through our microphones.
Ah, yes.
We've got, good segue, Jim. We've got two people with us this morning, Jack. We have Mike Bauer. Mike Bauer, besides being the guru of the 60s and the 70s and 80s music on Saturday nights.
7 p.m.
Shameless plug there, Mike. He is the lifelong, when he's not here in the studio with headphones on, lifelong learning coordinator at the library. And with Mike is Foster Klein. And Foster Klein is representing the Idaho Writers League, as well as being a general door greeter, making everything run smoothly this Saturday at the 2019 Local Authors Festival at the library, 9 to 3, this Saturday, October 26th.
We are excited.
Well, so tell us about it.
Well, this is a wonderful opportunity for our community, because everybody inside their head has a book or a writing that wants to crawl out, and people are just sitting around and, I'll get to it, or I couldn't do it. And Mike Bauer in the library has been so helpful to all of us with the Idaho Writers League in providing help. And this Saturday, people have the opportunity to meet and work with some truly fantastic people. Jim Payne is going to be there. He's written a number of books. You probably interviewed him here, 3 inches Above the Water on the Thames. And
he did the book on Thoreau, doing a kayaking part of Thoreau. We've had him in here, Jack.
A fantastic writer.
Absolutely.
And Tom Rippert is going to be there. He's taught kids all over the world, English kids, and he is a terrific author. He's in the middle of a book right now that it's very difficult when we have our Idaho Writers League meeting. He reads us a part of it, and it's like everyone in the room, it's like, what comes next, Tom, you know? And so he's going to be there and doing Tom is going to be doing a five-minute write with people, and Jim is doing the first sentence thing. Mary Healy's going to be there. She's a Sandpoint writer who's won a lot of contests. She's going to be doing flash fiction. I mean, this is an opportunity for people to come out and be creative and meet great writers. And so, I hope they take advantage of it.
Who's your audience? Who are the people you're targeting who should come and they'll walk away with a lot?
Everyone.
Ooh,
everyone who wants to write and wants to share their writing is welcome to come in. We would really like to see, especially young people, but anybody who's written anything on a page and just wants to get going on an idea and just see what other people think of it, you know, that is a really good audience that we'd like to see there.
I'm thinking, Mike, that we want everybody who's been sitting around thinking, I ought to write this down, you know, I ought to say something about this, and then they don't do it. They're the people that ought to come. And look at the support and get their creative juices flowing there on Saturday.
Do either of you feel that writing is a lost art, is a lost actor or behavior?
No, not at all. It's just that to a certain extent, it's changed a lot of the great writing now. For instance, there aren't as many short stories, Jim, because everything's going into the serials and the stuff on video, but on Netflix and the serials. But the great writing is still out there, It's terrific, you know.
You know, with short stories, I subscribe to The New Yorker, and the short story in every issue of The New Yorker is something that I jump on. I'd like to ask you before we start talking about how has technology changed writing? I can remember back in the day, and I don't want to say anything about, you know, I'm just looking at you, Foster. But when for example, when I wrote my dissertation, it was either on a typewriter that I couldn't hit a delete button and erase a whole chunk. It was almost as if whatever I got down had to be almost perfect and exactly the way I wanted to say it. So how has technology, you've continued to write, how has technology changed your writing behavior?
It's made it so much easier. So, for instance, I don't think enough people go into Google Documents and just dictate what they want to say, you know, because you bring up that Google dictation and it's accurate, very accurate, and that helps out. And then there are all sorts of scribble programs that help writers. If you're saying something that isn't quite grammatically correct, it automatically corrects it, you know. So there's no excuse with technology the way it is for people not to sit there at that machine and take advantage of the geniuses who have put these programs together that help us.
Do you like when did you switch over to like electronic, you know?
Well,
writing?
I was an early person with the Apple II.
An early adopter.
So I go way back to the late 70s.
What do you mean, way back to the late 70s?
Well, that's when the personal computers first started hitting the market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, I had to kind of force my secretaries to use the Apple II instead of the Selectric because they loved their Selectric with that little round ball tripping along.
Yes.
But you get that stuff on the Apple II, and I'm dictating something up, and I'm thinking, somebody's got to hear this story, you know? So then all of a sudden it's all there that you've dictated out and you can use it in the future. This cut and paste, I mean, all a person has to do is sit down and say, I'm going to spend 15 minutes every day writing something up about my life or my kids.
Whether I'm going to keep it or not, whether it's going to be in perfect order or not. And then the next day you can come and hit the delete or you can move like the beginning sentence down to the third sentence. Yeah. It's magical.
Yeah. Nobody ought to sit around and say, today I'm writing my book. No! You sit down, you write a little bit each day, and then you say, well, this probably ought to go before this, and this probably ought to come after this.
I used to teach composition, and trying to get students over, and myself over, the blank page. Sort of you have like a mind freeze. You look at it and you go, where do I go? Where do I start? And whatever. Whereas with the computer these days, you just sit down and you just go, and don't worry about where it goes.
When did you switch to computers, Jim, for your writing?
I would guess in the 80s when they started having them at the school that I taught. But I can remember, writing my dissertation, just gruesome because, you know, just you'd sit and you'd have a mental block, you know. I mean, Mike, how about you in terms of your writing behavior?
My writing, yeah, it's scientific mostly. It's not, you know, and I need to get into that realm of fiction and, or at least historical fiction. It'd be very interesting. But, you know, Foster has motivated me a little bit. I did my thesis, my master's thesis on a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk. And those were not very durable at all, as you probably remember. I didn't back up. What was backup? You know, I didn't know what that meant at the time.
Putting it in your refrigerator, you know. So if the house burnt down, at least.
Yeah, it's got some.
The floppy disk is good.
3 days before it was due, I lost a third of it. Oh. So the three-finger typist went as fast as he could, but I got it done.
You know, I'm going over this morning, after we finish here, to the Forest Bird School. And take a couple of English classes there and get the kids excited about writing. You know, give them a first sentence and then say, what comes
exactly,
next?
Exactly. You know, what how do you follow the narrative? Here's the beginning sentence. Where do you go from here? And then if you have 20 students, you're going to have 20 different directions.
Yeah.
And that's the fun of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a, so this program this weekend on the 26th, is there like a, is there an order of events? Is there particular times that things will be happening?
You want to take that, Mike?
Yeah, I can take that one.
Go ahead.
I mean, we have a couple of contests during the day. So, and we just start out with a contest, which is writing a first sentence to the story and then, you know, something that makes the reader want more. And so this kind of peer reviewed at that point, and we select kind of the best ones, the writers in the group. Do that, and then we'll have author readings from 9 to 12. They'll sign up for 7-minute author readings, and we will keep track of the time, of course, but we will. It is, some of them are really, really good. They're excerpts from their writing, and there are some people that just starting out that seem to have a gift. So that'll be really good in the morning, and then in the afternoon, like Foster said, some of the workshops come in. Everybody's invited to all of these, you know, and they shouldn't be intimidated, you know, by being with other writers. It's really beneficial and you know, engaging to be involved with other more experienced writers and published authors. We'll have the NaNoWriMo, which I'll talk about a little bit if you give me a chance here, if we have time.
We will.
And it means the National Novel Writing Month, and that is November. And I'll do a kickoff of that. I'll show them the website and everything. But the challenge is to write 50,000 words in the month of November. And that's just a matter of just getting all their ideas down, developing their characters, no editing whatsoever. It's writing, but it's brainstorming, really, and just trying to get volume out of there. So it's a little bit of a contest. We'll have some prizes and that sort of thing. So I'll introduce that. And then the flash fiction writing exercise by Mary Haley. She'll teach how to learn how to write a beginning, middle, and dynamite end to 1,000 words or less. So it's just kind of putting that together.
Flash fiction is short fiction, really short fiction.
You bet. You bet.
What, 2,000 words or less? I mean, is it that fixed or is it?
No, that is fixed. And she's won some awards for doing that.
I have a friend in Billings, Montana, who's a flash fiction writer, and she's had numerous flash fictions written and published. And that's how recent is flash fiction?
I don't know. I have no idea, but it's really fun to pick an idea and just jot it down.
Let it go.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but the phrase flash fiction, it just sounds great. And I don't remember when it came into being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people were writing short pieces of fiction before flash fiction was given a title.
Yeah.
You bet.
Short stories. Mm-hmm.
And we'll finish with Tom Ruppert doing the 5-minute writing exercise and sharing. That was really popular last year. People really enjoyed it.
I mean, Tom is such an amazing person. I mean, he's doing a fiction story now about the Gestapo and things going on in Poland with the Jews and the resistance there. I love reading what he's written, you know. And he's published a lot of science fiction too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a person to get to know. A very interesting guy.
So this is Saturday, October the 26th, East Bonner County Library on Cedar and Division, community rooms A and B from 9 to 3. Is there a cost?
Everything that takes place at the library is free. I'm always proud to say that.
And even the sneaky snacks?
Yeah. I mean, they're provided by the Friends of the Library. So they're going to come in, and they do a nice spread. I mean, they have nice food, and we'll have it all day long, and so people can snack on it. They are encouraged to bring a brown bag lunch because, again, I want some time to talk about NaNoWriMo during lunch. So grab something real quick, come sit in, and talk with Tom Ruppert and other authors and so on, and get enriched and share ideas and all of that.
Foster, I'd like to ask you a question. One of the things on Saturday, when you say we're all writers or we're all just waiting for the, writing in isolation as opposed to getting feedback, getting, a community of writers, what's the importance of that?
Oh, it's essential, because when we're sitting around and I write something that is so finished, so good that it could not be any better. And then I read it in the group, and they're looking at me, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Certain little pieces of this sound like shit. Now that I think about it, you know, oh, pardon me, but the point I'm saying is there are things that I write that I thought were great, but other people have ideas that really help it out. You know, you get something wrong, and I really think we help each other out in that group on Saturday. The Writers League meets every Saturday at the library, and we have about 10 or 12, sometimes more, people sitting around that table critiquing what somebody has
mm-hmm,
written.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an essential process.
Mm. Do you say you meet every Friday, Saturday?
Every Saturday.
Every single Saturday.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm sorry, first and third Saturday.
Okay, every other.
Yeah, every other Saturday.
But still.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were that often regular meetings there.
Yeah.
And do you have to, like, you have to sign up to show up to those meetings?
Well, if
you're going to join the group?
You can come two or three times just for the... Oh, good. My wife's phoning. Doesn't she have a sweet...
She's probably going to say about that four-letter word you said earlier.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Foster, I'm just totally shocked.
Well, I mean, at any rate, I'm sorry if I, you know, I got carried away, I guess.
But, we love your passion. Love your passion.
Yeah, it's just great. What was your question now?
What did I say?
Well, I don't know.
my phone's ringing too.
I'm working on the house, and I forgot the foundation here.
So. I only asked. So you had mentioned in passing that you meet with the Idaho Writers League, local group, every other week.
Yeah, and you asked if there was a cost to it.
Yeah.
And you can come two or three times free. Just sit in, see what it's like, see if you like it. But if you want to continue to come, then there's a $30 fee. Mm-hmm. Per year to join the Idaho Writers League.
And a bargain at that price,
oh,
I would say.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
To meet those people? Yeah.
But you can show up and see what it's like, dip your toe in the water, and that's every other...
Saturday.
Every other Saturday.
First and third Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the library.
Mm-hmm.
At the library. Ta-da. What number of the local Authors Festival is this?
I believe it's three.
Three. Mm-hmm. How was attendance last year?
I think we had about 35 or 40.
35 or 40. And how many are you? You're probably hoping for a waiting line to get in.
We are ready for 75. We have food for 75, so they better come and eat it.
Do
so,
you really?
Yeah,
because people are supposed to bring a sack lunch.
Right. But this is like kind of grazing all morning and feeding that writer's creativity.
God bless
caffeine.
The friends of the library
you bet.
For bringing that in. That's just great.
You bet.
What are you going to be reading, Foster? You're on the schedule for the 9:15 event.
I'll read something. I wrote a little book called You Can't Make This Stuff Up. And so I'll be reading something from that. There's some interesting things that I've been privy to over the years, and I'll be reading about that. But my main writing, of course, is parenting and teaching with love and logic and all mm-hmm. the love and logic stuff. Mm-hmm. But
how I can ask Mike this: how important is reading to be a good writer terms of? Should a writer be reading, and how important is reading?
Oh, very much so. I mean, you need to read the styles of various writers, especially the classics, and that's what we try to do. We try to encourage reading really at a young age in the Lifelong Learning Center and go forward with that. But there are a lot of really good avid readers that are young people, and they will develop as writers and as they go along.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is that, you know, initially, one might imitate, one might learn, but just simply being in the universe of words and how words are put together. Are you reading anything interesting now?
You know, I'm a nonfiction reader, so no, I'm kind of in between books, but okay. I enjoy biographies and have continued with that, historical fiction even, and there's some local writers that have actually come in, and I hope they come this Saturday, but there was one who was actually in the Hitler Youth. He is 89 years old. His name is Horst Christian, and that's his pen name. And he's got 5 books in the library, and I looked at some of his excerpts, and they are very exciting. So he continued to do that. That'd be another writer to learn from, especially
that history.
Wouldn't
that be great to meet him?
I think we'll bring him and a couple other writers that have come in, that fresh writers that have come into the area, actually, and have them do some author readings, and I think they'd be very popular.
I just read a couple of great books by Idaho writers, and you've probably heard Where the Crawdads Sing. That's been been on the New York Times list, and then Educated by Tara, I forget her last name, Educated.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
Oh, man.
I haven't read it.
My tendency is to hate memoirs, and this is a memoir, but it's so well written, and it's so good about... Here's this little gal growing up in southern Idaho in a prepper place, not going to school, not knowing her birth date, not knowing when she was born, and graduating from Oxford in England. Mm-hmm. And it's her journey through life. And it's pretty darn good writing, you know, Educated.
We are, you are listening to 88.5 KRFY.
Should we take a music break?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, I asked everybody around the table before we began. Today is National Polio Day, and World Polio Day, established a number of years ago by Rotary International to raise awareness and funds to keep the progress moving forward. And along with Matchwood Brewing today, the Rotary Club will be holding Pints for Polio, and a portion of all beer and wine sales will go to Polio Plus. And I thought, what would be an appropriate song to play? But I thought I'd focus in on the singer-songwriter. And most people do not know that Joni Mitchell, at the age of 10, suffered from polio. And she was removed, put into a clinic, and for a period of time was away from her family. I just finished reading Reckless Daughter, biography on Joni Mitchell. Quite fascinating. So in honor of Joni Mitchell and World Polio Day, here is You Turn Me On Appropriately. I'm a radio. That was Joni Mitchell from her For the Roses album from 1972, You Turn Me On. I'm a radio here on 88.5.
It was news to me that she had polio at 10.
Yeah, she talks about, this biography I read, the author had unlimited access to Joni Mitchell. She was very willing to share her thoughts about everybody in music, and boy, she can be nasty at times. But when she talks about her childhood and about the impact of polio and being isolated and taken away from her friends and her family and the feeling being out on the Canadian prairies and just... being alone really impacted the way in which she grew up to see the world.
Did she have effects from it later on in life?
I don't know. I haven't, I wonder in terms of walking. I grew up where polio was the big scare in the 50s. We all had to get shots or else you'd end up in an iron lung. I can remember that fantasy for a long time, just laying there with my head sticking out.
Sure. When I was a kid, they didn't have the shots yet. And the Sabin and the Salk vaccines were not out, And I remember that my parents were always quite concerned when I'd go out in the summer and run through the hose and play with the kids. For the fear of polio. I mean, when you think of what the kids don't have to worry about these days, they don't have to worry about going out in the summer and being with a bunch of other kids and ending up in an iron lung, It's sort of a different world.
Yeah. Well, it's a different world because, it says here, I'm reading from a newspaper article from last Tuesday in the Bonner Bee, polio is caused by the polio virus, which spreads from person to person and can invade an infected person's brain and spinal cord, causing paralysis. And then in 1988, Rotary International became involved in trying to either not eradicate it, but control it through vaccination and things like that. And, it's one of those diseases that's out there, but it seems like it's under control. But, it can be devastating.
We are here with Foster Klein, local author, Dr. Foster W. Klein, and from the Bonner County Library, the East Bonner County Library, I guess I should specify, case there was some confusion, Mike Bauer is here, the coordinator of the Lifelong Learning Center. And we have been talking about the Local Authors Festival going on this Saturday, the 26th, from 9 to 3. Lots coming up besides that, though. Am I wrong, Mike? Anything going on Halloween?
We're busy, There's really three of us that put programs on. It's myself as adult programs, and then Kimber Glidden does teen programs.
Does a good job. Mm-hmm. Good job.
And then Suzanne Davis, who does
children's
programs. Children.
Suzanne's been on, too. Mm-hmm. We've had them all.
Mm-hmm. And Marcy
Marcy Timlin.
At the library, she puts the calendar together.
Who hasn't been on?
Who I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll have to get somebody from CERC or info or whatever. Yeah.
Love the library.
You bet. But the calendar is very challenging to put together because there are so many things to put in these little squares on the calendar. So coming up, we have a lot of teen programs. If you go by the teen room about 3:30, 4 o'clock.
It's packed, I bet.
It is packed. And it's interesting in there.
You know,
Kimber
I went in
a
there,
special
Mike.
Person for being in there and keeping order.
I went in there to try the VR, you know, the virtual reality thing, the 3D stuff. Dragged my wife along, dragged Hermie along. And we used the VR set.
Are you
pretty
okay?
Pretty interesting.
Hey, how was it? How was it, Foster?
It was pretty exciting. It was pretty interesting.
I heard a rumor about Mike Bauer that he was on all fours, all fours, you know, with, you know, on the edge of a precipice or something. What did you virtual reality doing?
Well, the thing that was interesting to me is that you can take that laser beam when you're in the virtual reality and poke at any place, and all of a sudden you're in that spot.
Go away.
Looking around in 3D. And the other thing that was actually surprising to me is here I'm in the forest, you know, and then the person who was doing the VR said to me, do you want me to take your coat? Honest to gosh, it was like the voice of God, you know, because here I am in this world in the middle of the forest, and out of nowhere comes this voice, would you like me to take your coat? It was a out-of-body experience.
It was the oak tree to the right.
That was a shocker.
And before we go too far, you know, that anyone, if you know the times when to go there, it's not like all the time, but find out the times, and would you say that it's a worthwhile experience, Foster?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, great.
And you can drop in at 3 o'clock every Tuesday.
Okay.
Or you can reserve a spot, so maybe you don't stand in line at 10 a.m. on Fridays.
Okay.
So come in, and you sign a little disclaimer.
But they
in case
you
fall
off the cliff.
They take really good care of you. Yeah, I almost went through the window.
Were you sitting down or were you standing?
I was standing up.
And did you have a difficult time with balance? Or?
No, I didn't really.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just interesting. I mean, one of these days, Jack and I are going to go over. Mm-hmm. We're gonna ride the wild surf off of one of the Hawaiian islands, right?
And they have a roller coaster too that you can.
Oh, I'll pass.
Oh, that's interesting. The one where you just walk off the end of a building or something?
You hit the elevator and you go on the end of like a diving board and you plunge. You know, 20 stories, you remember, I think
no
80
way.
Stories to your death. What happens after that, I'll leave it up to you, but you have to come in and try it to find out what happens.
No, seriously, that you jump off the building, mm-hmm. and you're not going to tell me what happens when you...
Well, what happens to most people or what I did? I went like this. I did a swan dive. I totally forgot about where I was. And I figured out if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do
it with style.
Exactly. And I ended up, it was a staff meeting, and then one of the staff was in the front. And I mean, I was in their lap. Actually, I was more, my chest was in their lap. It was really awkward. But
I'm sure the library is more than just VR. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. And, you know, the three of us do quite a bit of programming, but Suzanne Davis is very, and Kimber are very active this time of year. And so, yeah, things like Mother Goose, 10 a.m. on Tuesdays, those are regular programs, and Story Time, some of these others. We also, Kimber has actually a manga anime club that meets on Fridays at 3 p.m. You know,
incredible
manga. Have you read any manga?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and that graphic novels, what we call them, they are comic books taken to the very, very next level and very
originated in Japan.
Mm-hmm. And they so they have a club there. They have a lot of teens that work, and they come in and they don't work. They play like D&D, like Dungeons and Dragons, and I think there's another one. But you know, they come in and they actually do. We just let them do whatever they want to do and get together in a safe place. And so there's a lot of activity at the library on the 31st. Right in between.
1 week from today?
1 week from today. I love Halloween.
Go away.
I love Halloween. And 10:30, we'll have a Halloween dance party and parade for the youngins. So that should be really fun. They'll come through the library. I'll probably go outside a little bit if it's nice. And then we're having a teen Halloween party at 3 o'clock on Halloween. So those are a couple of things we're looking forward to. They're new programs, and we're just trying something new. It's a very exciting job because it's kind of trying something new all the time.
Can one go to the website to get the calendar?
Yes, yes, indeed.
And what would be the website URL?
Okay, ebonnerlibrary.org.
Okay, perfect. One of the things, and I've said this before with Kimber and Suzanne and Marcy here, that I think the library is just an incredible institution, especially the work that people like you have done, Mike, and Foster, the contributions that you've made.
That library is the campfire of our community. You get right down to it, and it's a blessing to have Mike and his team there at the library. And if people don't take advantage of what goes on at the library, fie on them. That's the way I feel about it. Fie on them. Well, because it's a great opportunity.
Look at the location right next to the high school practically. And good Lord, if I were a parent with a high school age son or daughter, you know, and they wander in about 5:30, where you been? I've been at the library. Right. Whoa. You know, you know, it goes back to what you said earlier, a safe place.
Right.
And the opportunities there for the imagination to run wild.
And I'd like to say that we couldn't do what we do without partnerships. So Idaho Writers League, people donating to the teen center, that that flippable play table, you know, the pool table and air hockey table that we got, that was donated. So many things are donated, and so many great partnerships. Speakers that come in, they come in on their own time, on their own time.
And, tutors?
And yes, tutors? Indeed. We've got 30 tutors that come in. Yeah. And the pay is really poor because they're volunteers.
Yeah, but the reward is ginormous.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, working with youth, I think is. So tell us a little bit more about your NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo. Well, I guess we don't have to rhyme.
NaNoWriMo. NaNoWriMo.
There should really be a W in there.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
I misspelled it or whatever. I always leave the W out, but it is an acronym or whatever you call it, when there's a few letters. So that will start in, we'll actually have the kickoff on Saturday, so as to get everybody excited, get everybody signed up, and I hope there's quite a few. And then on Tuesdays in November, we're having write-ins from 3 to 7, 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. So they can come in anytime, come and go as they please, kind of a quiet atmosphere. We will provide prompts if somebody is stuck. But if you take 50,000, you divide it by 30 days in the month, that's quite a, if you miss a day or two, you really have to
I just did the math, 1,600 words per day.
That's right. No problem. That's a little bit, that's flash fiction every day. Yeah. So keep at it. They can keep track on the website. We will have an overall winner for the most number of words. We'll have a winner every day for the most number of words, and we'll just keep it playful and very creative. And I'm looking to the Idaho Writers League to provide a facilitator. They don't know this yet, but I will give them a call, and we'll just have a facilitator to help, you know, with that whole process. But the idea is just to get everything down on paper and write, and then come back and edit later.
I'm just thinking in terms of, we talked about the importance of sharing one's writing. Yeah, I as a teacher of literature, I could never emphasize enough that good writers need good readers. That, in other words, it does take a skill set to be a good reader for whatever work is out there, to engage with the work. And so, you know, I would suggest that you might be like a person Foster described as, waiting for the novel to get out. But until you get it out, be a good reader and read other people's works and make a contribution that way.
I'd say, I'm really into people riding 10 minutes mm-hmm. a day. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. Come on now. You had experiences in your life that would be fun for my grandkids to know about, if nothing else.
Oh.
You know?
Family history.
Absolutely.
You know, I tried to get my mother to write down some things before she passed at 104, but couldn't do that, and we tried to get her video. But each of us has a story, if no other, just the most basic level of, you know, your parents telling we'd go to family reunions, who's that over there? Who's that person? You know, there's a story behind that. Mm-hmm. And,
right. No, I agree with you, Jim. I think everybody has something worth sharing, some story worth telling. I think we've learned that here on the
air. Some story worth being heard.
Yeah.
You know, not only, you know, for the person who's telling the story, but to hear the story, how we got here, or as individuals. Mm-hmm. So are you writing down your personal history, Foster, for your grandkids?
Oh, yeah. But it's not a personal history as much as it's little vignettes of what happens on the ski slope, you know. I mean, I lose control, and I go through, you know, those orange nets up there, you know, and I accidentally go through one of the orange nets.
Goodness.
And I feel completely embarrassed. I lost control a bit once you won the orange nets or hit it, you know. And darned if some lady comes along and says, "You really shouldn't do that."
You know? Oh, I did it on purpose.
Yeah. But you really, you know, there's all kind. I mean, it's nothing, but it's something, you know, that someday some grandkid may laugh about this or that or the other thing.
How many years? Is this up at Schweitzer?
Yeah.
How many years have you been skiing up there?
I've been here 25 years.
Okay.
And the first 5 years, which is one of the few regrets I have in my life, is that, and I hope everyone out there is listening to this, is that I lived in Sandpoint for 5 years before I went skiing on Schweitzer. That is one of my big regrets in life. One of my big regrets.
Jack?
That's a pathetic thing. When that mountain is, and you realize that only 1% of 1% of 1% of 0.01% of the human race can be pulled up on top of a mountain and slide down on a couple boards. I mean, the pharaohs of Egypt couldn't do that, you know? And to not take advantage of that mountain and live here, it's pathetic. Pathetic.
I'm feeling shame.
I'm feeling shame.
But let me put it this way, though, Foster, that some of us scale those heights pursuing the purple berry. You know, that some of us know Schweitzer intimately without snow. But
that's good.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Indiana. Come on, a hill was, you know, I mean, our mountains were 300 feet high, you know, and we got nosebleeds when we'd climb up there. You know, that cross-country skiing, that's another thing. But downhill skiing, Mike, you were, what, Detroit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I started when I was 8. I started skiing, and we had
gone
to this little, in Detroit, outside Detroit, in the suburbs. There were 3 little molehills we went to. We went to one each week, and we rotated through, and we got instruction, and I was really fortunate to learn how to ski very young.
Well, I was thinking in terms of not only your personal experience with orange nets, but also before, let's say, Stella Six Pack or whatever, the different, you know, the growth of, you know, like you can remember Schweitzer before, you know, part of the history of Schweitzer that you embody, which also needs to be tailed. Are you a skier, Jack?
No, sir. Nope. I do a little cross country. I have
Minnesota.
Yes.
Darn well better.
And I own a pair of cross country skis now, which I should use more often than I do. But, you know, weather's got to cooperate a little bit for good cross country. But but that's it for me. Schweitzer is intimidating and expensive. And I also feel like I'm a little too injury prone to just get out there. Oh, and I would be terribly embarrassed because I'd be terrible. I'd be the oldest person in the
prejudging. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I judge myself. You know, I mean,
It seems like an expensive hobby to start at my age. Seems like there's a lot of equipment I'm going to need.
And
a lot.
Isn't Jack younger than the age that you started at, Foster?
Yeah, actually, you know, if you go to a ski swap, you can get some skis pretty inexpensively and some boots that are good enough, and then Schweitzer has free and discounted days for you to True. Try. You know, and then there's always musical chairs, Jack. Really. I mean, that's as close to flat as you can go. And you'd love it.
All right.
You'd love it.
But how about, did Mike, do you still ski?
I transitioned recently from downhill to cross country. And my experience with the Sandpoint Nordic Club is outstanding. And there's a new area up at Pine Street Woods. They're actually building a little lodge
and everything.
Out. I'm excited for that. We're going to be talking about this.
I'm going to go out there for a hike on Friday just to walk around.
Oh, hopefully.
Nice. That's yeah. Brilliant. Let's get back to Saturday, though.
Okay.
About one more time, the 2019 Local Authors Festival. We're here with Mike Bauer and Foster Klein, two individuals who are part of the mainstay behind this Authors Festival. Saturday at the East Bonner County Library, the community rooms A and B, 9 to 3. Bring a sack lunch if you so choose, but you will not go hungry because there will be little snack items throughout the day.
You know, when I listen to you talk about this, what I realize, Jim, is when we say Local Authors Day, I don't know if all of our listeners know, they're going to be the authors. I mean, we have some good authors there that are fantastic people to meet. But they're going to be the ones that are participating in the contests and doing the writings and the five-minute write and writing on the first sentence and all that fun stuff that's going on.
Yeah, it'll be a chance to learn and do.
Be creative.
Mm-hmm. creative. And so this is at the – anything else you want to say about the day coming up? You know, good point, Foster. It's Local Authors Day, and this is not published or whatever, but – come there, you're going to be a local author.
Support and inspiration.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a big
Support's
part of it.
Support's a key word.
It really is.
Absolutely. What else do you want to say about that before we send you off into the noise and the vibrations and seismic activity of First Avenue?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is good. Just if you for more information, give me a call, 265-2665.
Sorry, I didn't catch that number.
265-2665.
Gotcha.
So there you go.
And the website. Again. It's on the website.
It is on the website. And there's actually the program is on the website. So if you go to events on our website, you'll find it under the 26. It's a calendar, virtual calendar. And the program will be there. So if you want to go through before you come in, then do that. As for reading, all you have to do is show up a little bit early. You sign up. You put the author's name in the title, and we will get you going. And you'll be on the docket for the morning readings.
And you know, in times past, there's been someone come in who have not really written that much, and
Perfect.
They read a poem
Perfect.
Or they read a paragraph or something that they've written, and doggone if they don't win it. Now that's irritating when there's a lot of people there who've done a lot of writing, and someone walks in and they write something, and you say, "Man, that's good," and they win it.
And there's gifted individuals out there, and all they have to do is take that first step.
Yeah, that's
come
right.
On Saturday.
Yep.
So Mike Bauer, Foster Klein, what do we say when we send you out? Break the lead in your pencil?
Something like that.
How's that pencil again?
What's a pencil? We'll talk later, Foster. Thank you guys both for so much coming in. We're going to be taking a music break, and then we're going to talk about upcoming events. We have a song. It was on this date in 1988 that Fantasy Records... made a lawsuit against John Fogerty, ex Creedence Clearwater Revival lead, one of the mainstays of that incredible group. He released a song called The Old Man Down the Road, and Fantasy Records says, whoa, that is way too much. Down in the jungle, it sounds like. And so they filed a lawsuit, and we want money. And here's the song, and we'll talk about what happened later. Here is The Old Man Down the Road, John Fogerty, without the remaining members of CCR. John Fogerty, The Old Man Down the Road. On this date, October 24th in 1988, Fantasy Records out of Oakland, California, filed a lawsuit for copyright infringement against John Fogerty, claiming that The Old Man Down the Road was essentially the music to Run Through the Jungle when he was with CCR only It was with new words. The case was litigated through a jury trial. Can you imagine being on a jury listening to the songs back and forth, back and forth? That would be so interesting. And the jury found in Fogerty's favor, rejecting the claim of infringement. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah, the self-plagiarism thing. It is interesting.
That's interesting, and that you said self-plagiarism. Isn't that amazing?
Right, because he had written the first song, he just didn't own the rights to it anymore. Right. I remember reading about that case at some point, and they found basically that an artist is going to naturally have a certain sound, and that's not something, you know, I mean, that certain similarities in a person's voice and musical style are not able to be owned by, you know, somebody else. You can hear it if you're listening for it. You can hear the similarity, it's not as close to Run Through the Jungle as... It's as close to Run Through the Jungle as, to my ear, four or five other songs.
What I think of Jack is, well, the classic one is My Sweet Lord, George Harrison being sued by the writers of He's So Fine. And I have to admit, as much as I love music, I try to hear He's So Fine in My Sweet Lord, and I don't hear it.
Yeah.
Whereas with this one, the guitar playing in particular.
Yeah.
I do hear a similarity, but, you know, to sue an individual writer or songwriter for something that he wrote just because he changed record labels or whatever, that he infringed upon himself.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Yeah. Well, indeed, we are almost out of time here.
Can real quickly, there's a sip and screen mammo party at Bonner General Health on Saturday, this Saturday, October 26th. We have 3D mammography, the most superior breast cancer screening available. There will be beverages, appetizers, sweets, and prizes, because if I'm not mistaken, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And schedule your appointment at 208-265-3349. That's at Bonner General Health.
And what's the last thing you got there? Oh, here we go. Coats for Kids. It's the end of the Coats for Kids drive. We are a location, aren't we? I mean, if you wanted to trek
Tomlinson South B. Okay. Tomlinson South B. They've got a big box.
Mm-hmm.
I went into this past weekend the dark corners of my closet, and I came out with some scarves and some coats that I go, whoa, did I ever wear these?
Mm-hmm.
And so I took down two bags there. And so scarves, hats.
It's not just coats, but the Coats for Kid drive
and
is
gloves.
What's going on. Let's see, donate coats at, there's a bunch of donation locations around town. You can also go up to the Bonner Mall, which is where
they will distribution be starting. What date on there?
The 21st, meaning it's already started.
It's already started.
It began this Monday, I think. You can, donate coats, for kids specifically, but all sizes. I mean, kids can grow up pretty fast and pretty big.
Majorly. So just don't judge. Will this be taken or is this appropriate? Just take it down there. Let them make the decisions.
Yep. And what else is going on? We are out of time, but there is a Community Harvest Festival on Saturday. The second annual Southside Community Harvest Festival from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the Bonner Mall in Ponderay is hosting the Sandpoint Farmers Market indoors from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the 26th. Arts and crafts items, seasonal produce, and more. That is the weekly farmers market has moved to the Bonner Mall.
And Jack, I'm going to abandon you.
Yeah, you're
week.
Gone.
I am gone. Carrie Logan will be here. I will be off to Halloween and Dia de los Muertos in San Francisco.
I asked you last week or so. Are you going to dress up? Do you have a costume for Halloween?
No, I don't. I tell people that I go as Jim Healy, and that's scary.
That's a good enough.
That is, but on Dia de los Muertos, we'll see. Last year, I had my face painted white. When you go to the Mission District, there are street artists who will paint your face and do it all appropriately. And so I might do that this year or I might not. We'll see.
That's fun.
It's fun. There's a procession. Then you go to the park where all the beautiful memorials for all of the souls and decorated with lemons and avocados and marigolds and mementos from the individual past. Beautiful.
The I'll be here with Carrie Logan next week. We're talking to Bonner Homeless Transitions. And Carrie is a member of the Historical Preservation Society. So I'm going to also ask her if she knows of any haunted buildings around town.
Cool.
Let's see what she comes up with.
You bet. Jack, okay. Good as always.
And likewise, Jim, stay tuned for Bird Note here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderé.